I have to put the hat on of I'm the mayor of the city and what is the best interest of this community. And I've been looking at the Civic Center for 20 years now, trying to figure out what to do with it.
Well, hey there, I'm Eric Detheridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. Welcome back to Prairie Beats.
Our weekly news discussion here at Prairie Public. And Danielle, we've been following this story for a while. It's only right that we close it out with the final word on the topic. The Fargo City Commission has made their choice for where to build its new convention center. And it's going to be right in our own backyard here at Prairie Public, just down the skyway at the Civic Center in beautiful downtown Fargo.
Yeah, that's correct. It's been a looming discussion, obviously, for many years. The Convention Center Committee worked for about a year and a half trying to figure out where to put this thing, weighing all sorts of questions, whittling down the options, etc. And bringing it down to the wire, you know, the City Commission was supposed to make their choice last month at their previous meeting, but they chose instead to ask one more question. They wanted a side-by-side financial comparison of the final two locations, the Brewhalla site and the Civic Center.
And what I thought was kind of interesting was that the final report by accounting firm Baker Tilly was that they didn't really have a recommendation one way or the other.
Yeah, Commissioner John Strand seemed a bit frustrated with that. The city of Fargo voted in 2024 to approve a 3% lodging tax to help pay for the convention center. But of course, it's not as simple as all that. I thought it was interesting that the Brewhalla proposal included them being responsible for the losses, operating costs, and no additional costs to taxpayers. The commission was ready to make the decision, but, you know, they were really feeling the weight of it as well.
How many times have we seen in our lives where the government does something and then it ends up becoming what we later on call a boondoggle? And I'm not saying these will be, but if something doesn't pencil out financially, if, like as in Commissioner Pepcorn reminds us, this is going to come on the taxpayer's nickel.
Actually, John, the bonding is on a sales tax.
No. If there's a need to go into the general fund because it's not cash flowing,
when you're talking about bonding, it is on the lodging tax.
I'm talking about the cash flow of the entity. And if it doesn't show profit, it's on the public to pay for that deficit, separate from the bonding issue. The bonding issue will be paid back with the 3% revenue from the lodging tax. If the economy goes south, and I'm always wanting to be prepared for the worst, but if the economy doesn't pan out the way we hope it would, it's on us. It's on the city, either project.
Now, the vote was not unanimous. It ended up being 4-1 for the Civic Center. Now, the one holdout was outgoing Commissioner Denise Kolpak, who made a pretty impassioned plea at the last minute in favor of building the convention center next to Brewhalla. And she, too, seemed pretty unsatisfied that the final financial reports didn't really show a clear frontrunner.
Yeah, she made about a 15-minute sort of quick presentation for her reasoning for going to bat for the Brewhalla site. She called it a once-in-a-generation opportunity that would change the shape of downtown forever. So it's a big decision. And she used Sioux Falls as an example. Her pitch was for a convention center at Brewhalla and then down the line, a future performing arts center at the Civic Center location.
Future One is a convention center at the Civic Center site. Civic Center site consumed, future options limited. Future Two, convention center at Brewhalla, future performing arts center, expanded downtown corridor, two downtown anchors. The question before us is not where to place a building. The question is which future can we create?
And she also mentioned that she understood the process has already been belabored at this point. She said, you know, she believed the Brewhalla site offered the greatest opportunity and that a performing arts center at the Civic site would honor the original goal of the Civic Center.
I do have to admit, it's a pretty interesting and exciting idea about a performing arts center in downtown Fargo, although there are already a good handful of options for arts venues around the region. And who's to say that you couldn't just flip those ideas? There's still plenty of room at the Brewhalla site. Now, convention center downtown and a performing arts center at Brewhalla. That could happen, right?
Yeah, who knows? Commissioner Michelle Turnberg and outgoing Commissioner Dave Pepcorn seem to believe that the most mitigated risk to the public would be to utilize an already existing facility for the convention center. And Mayor Mahoney also pointed out that the Fargo-Moorhead Science Museum is moving forward, but gathering the needed publicly raised capital for that project has been an uphill climb. So he seemed to be of the mind that a performing arts center would also have that same challenge ahead of it.
All right. So the decision was made 4 yeses, with Kolpak being the sole no vote. It's going forward. So the big question is, what happens next?
It will probably be a minute before they can officially begin. The developer for the project is Kilbourn Group, so the city has to finalize the development agreement with them before demolition can start. That may take 2 to 3 months, but downtown tenants and visitors will probably begin noticing that activity this fall. They plan to use the existing shell of the building, and as of right now, they're looking at it being ready in late 2028 or early 2029. But when it's done, you know, that's when the fun starts, right? Rocky Schneider is executive director of the Downtown Community Partnership, and this week he gave this quote to WDAY News.
I know when I go to conventions, I go out and spend money. I buy something to bring home for my kids, some tourist items, some knickknacks, and then you always go out to eat and drink and shop. And so I think this will be just a great additional, you know, source of revenue for all these small businesses in our downtown.
And you know, while it's going to take a bit of time here before the convention center is ready, it really does feel like a new era of, I don't know, excitement about the future. There's certainly been a lot of thinking about the future, not only as residents were watching this convention center process pan out, but also as they went to the polls this month in choosing their new leadership. Our friend at Forum Communications, Rob Port, wrote about that in his column this week as he pointed out that, at least in his mind, voters in Fargo overwhelmingly chose State Senator Josh Beauchesne as their new mayor. He's young, has a history of public service, underscore that. That was kind of Rob's big point there, and an optimistic outlook about leading the city. He contends that the election wasn't as partisan as it was about experience and, yes, public service. And he said that not only about new leadership chosen for Fargo, but also across the state.
Yeah, elections do have a way of bringing about some sort of changes, and there certainly will not be any shortage of those coming. The new mayor and the new commission will be sworn in at the next meeting in just a couple of weeks here. And so as the convention center goes forward and new leadership takes the helm in Fargo and in other cities across the state, we will be watching that every step of the way.
And got to give a shout out to the guys at Brewhalla. You know, I talked to Mark Bjornstad a while back about the bid, and I think everybody was impressed by their energy, their can-do spirit. And, you know, maybe they can have exclusive rights to sell Drecker beer at the new convention center. Maybe that's the olive branch that can be extended and we can all come together around this new facility. It'll be a lot of fun to watch. So, Danielle, what other stories have you and Dave and Todd been getting up to this week in the Prairie Public Newsroom?
We just manufactured our first light bulb on the 12th, June 12th. Today, the line is fully operational, and we're still working through the tweaks, and we're lining everything up. But by the end of next week, we'd be able to make 10,000 light bulbs in one day.
Well, I had a story late last week I thought was kind of fun. On the 4th of July, the only LED light bulb factory in the country is opening in Fargo, North Dakota.
We're seeing a huge push at a national level for industry-led workforce strategy. And so we're really excited about the opportunity for us to align at the state level with that national push for industry to be in the driver's seat when it comes to directing how state workforce systems are ensuring that we have the workers that we need and that those workers have the skills that they need to support economic growth in North Dakota.
The State Commerce Department is accepting applications until next Tuesday for its Regional Workforce Impact Program. And Todd had a really great report on current needs here in North Dakota to address the homelessness issue.
Great work this week, news team, as per usual. Thanks for all of that, Danielle.
You bet. Be sure to listen to Prairie Public for more news or check out our online newsroom at news.prairiepublic.org.
All right, that's it for us this week here at Prairie Public. Here's a little toast with some pill lager for you. I'm Eric Detheridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We'll see you on the beat next week.
Mm-hmm.